I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
1 week ago, we had no idea what a fight pit was, but now I want to see more. Hello, everyone. My name is Lobo Voice, and this is the NXT After Show, powered by AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sports. Today's card, as always, is stacked from top to bottom with promos and matches and things that make me go, We're going to talk about all of that today, but before we do, we're going to break down, going to hang out, we're going to introduce our all-star panel. Introducing first, she is a correspondent for Championship Wrestling from Arizona, and she's legitimately Emmy-nominated. Give it up for Emily May.
What? Hey, everyone. I'm excited to have NXT again. So much happened tonight.
This guy lives to be cheered, whether it's on stage, whether it's in a ring, whether it's just hanging outside in the parking lot, being all creepy and shady. Give it up for Humza Mania, Humza Khan, everybody.
You can call me Loomis from now on. I can hum Zoomis.
Loomis! No, you're Lumen!
What's up, guys?
Where was X Loomis this week? We have no idea. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone in the chat. Heywood Wong, who called me a heel on Twitter, but it's okay. I still love you. We'll be reading your comments and be interacting with you during the show. Now, before we get to the matches, I'm going to ask you first, I'm with you, Emily May. This is the first week WWE decided to put people in the audience. Because you're cheering, you're booing, they're saying, oh, snap. Thoughts about that? And how do you feel about having trainees watching the action?
I mean, I feel kind of conflicted because there's like two ways I see it. One, they have to still kind of do the 6 feet of distancing, right? But then also, it's important for them to watch this stuff. Watch it live. They're training at the performance center. They need to know how this all goes down, how they do it with no audience, how they do it with minimal audience, how they do it with a huge 30,000 people. Like, it's all important. And so I liked how it kind of added a little, I felt like it was kind of like a TV studio vibe where you had like little kind of laugh tracks and you had booing and you had kind of that little, that audience element added back into it. I think it was different because they weren't like, it's not the traditional fans, but I feel like it still added some fun elements.
Yeah. Hamza, what do you think?
Great change of pace. I like it. I mean, WWE's universe is opening back up in stages just like the rest of the world. So I'm guessing this is stage two. Then we sprinkle in some fans in between that and we see how it goes. It's nice. It's a nice buildup to coming back to our norm, hopefully. So I mean, I don't mind it at all. I actually enjoyed it.
I am torn because I'm that guy. I like the fact on Raw, we had the fans there or the trainees, but I kind of wish on NXT to let them be more themselves. I kind of felt like a 90s sitcom, like Married with Children, like, ooh. And I mean, I wish they were too much in unison for me, but I like the fact of having actual people because wrestling is a performance art. And speaking of a performance, Drake Maverick wins his group in a triple threat match player for the interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship group. I don't know who he's in. BJ Gallus and Kushida. And a match that was pretty solid, although we'll talk about the finish in just a second. Hamza, let me ask you this, because you are a bona fide wrestler. You know, I saw Knox Pro last week on that Zoom call. Yo, help me out here. Is it possible to pin someone while they're being submitted? I feel you can't do that in a video game. You could do it today at NXT.
It was a creative finish. The only issue I had with it is technically Kushida was pinning him as well because his legs were over him. So at the end of the day, if it was a pin, Kushida should have gotten that pin. But I like the creativity behind it. I'm not sure if Drake Maverick comes up with these spots because it seems like he's the creative type. So I just like that. It was a different finish. It was different for sure. But as far as technicality is concerned, the show must go on.
Yo, Emily, yeah. We talk Drake's story. We want to root for him. Shouldn't he be able to, like, slam somebody down and pin him and do this?
I know. Like, so away? I kind of feel you there because I was torn. I have to say I had to go back and watch the replay a couple times on this finish because I just wasn't quite sure. It happened so fast, and I was like, wait, this is weird. And so I just had to break it down for myself a little bit. And I feel like if we're following his Maverick story of just like, you know, so emotional and he wants to get back in with WWE and continue his journey, I feel like it should have been this big moment. But also looking back, maybe it's not, maybe his big moment is coming later. So they were kind of building up to it. So this was kind of his way of like, okay, I'm still going to make a statement. And I feel like they did because it was such a non-traditional finish. that he's going to make his statement later.
I'm with you. Drake Maverick's still in tournament next week, taking on El Hijo de Fantasma. But let's talk about the other two competitors, because I feel like Kushida has arrived in this tournament. And Jake Atlas, curiously or not curiously, Hamza, was the last man to be introduced. Usually that spot goes with somebody we should keep our eyes on.
Yeah. Actually, before I even get to that, fun fact, I was wondering why Jake Atlas looked so familiar to me. In 2018, when I went to Santino Brothers, I went to try out wrestling there before I went to Knox Pro. He was training there, and that's who I was working with. And I just realized who that was. So shout out to Jake Atlas. I'll root for you more. But no, I mean, it was. I think it's the same as kind of concept as like the 24/7 championship, right? Like, you want to give the interim cruiserweight championship to one of the B-list players more so than the A-list players, because it kind of seems like insulting at this point. That might be where they're going with this. So I'm assuming that's what it is. That's why it's like B-list players going for it at this point.
Fair enough. Yeah. I just felt like it was interesting that, like, you think Kushida, being the more established star of the three of them, would be the one that got the introduction. It doesn't matter. At least I don't think, because, you know, Jake Atlas did not win the match. Emily May, we talked about Jake Atlas before and how he has all this upside. And what about all the people who are not moving on this tournament? Your Jack Gallagher's, your sort of Scott, your Tony Nieces. I mean, are these guys going to be used down the line, or are they going to be just like filler when we need tournaments?
I mean, I hope that they are used elsewhere, but you can't always have a tournament. And so you have to, like, Jake Atlas is going to do amazing things. And I know you just have to find the right spot for them and the right storyline, the right moment. So again, tournaments, if you're using them all the time, they're not going to be as effective. So you have to strategically use them to bring and kind of enhance the talent that you have, or test things out. So I feel like this is kind of an experiment to see who is matched up really well with people, try some new moves, try some kind of new rivalries, feel that out for a television audience.
I want to give a shout out to Joseph Bozer in the chat. He says, what do you think of Drake's firing as a storyline? Is he really fired, or is just them firing to keep him on TV for 90 days? Hate to be cynical about it, but it's worth asking for someone who's been let go. He's been around and they see an awful lot.
I mean, it's kind of tricky. I feel like we're not going to really know unless someone comes out and says exactly what's happening, you know? I know we've had discussions on this show about, like, is it a work, is it not? And, you know, I feel like we're just not, let's just enjoy the wrestling and let's hope that he is back when supposedly his time was supposed to be up.
So that is the question for you, Hamza. I know, like, the idea of kayfabe or kafabi, right? You know, with social media, you can't ignore a little bit of reality because that's just the way it is. Is the fact that we're just sitting going, is it real or is it not? Is that considered a success? Or because of this unique situation, it's like, no, we need to know whether or not he's fired or hired or whatnot.
I mean, that's a good point. One, Emily, you put it really well. I like the way you worded it. But that's the success behind it, is to have us sitting here talking about it right now. And the fact that we're talking about it, is it real? Is it not real? Is it a work? That's, to me, is a success. And I'm kind of getting the sense that Drake Maverick's character at this point is to represent the world right now and the individuals out there who are going through this coronavirus issue, and how we're having to, some people are filing for unemployment for the first time and they never did before in their life, or they're having to drive for Uber and just to make ends meet. So to me, Drake Maverick's storyline is a little bit of a guy scratching and clawing and doing whatever he can to make it through this pandemic. And it's kind of, that's what I picked up from it.
That's fair enough. I think I'm rooting for Drake. I hope he wins at the interim tournament. I think it'll make sense. We have to go through El Hijo de Fantasma. We'll find out more about that next week. But before we move on to our next match, Emily May, can you do the world a favor and tell them how they can interact with this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz shows?
Yes. So I know that you all love wrestling and you love all sports and entertainment. And where you get that is at the ESPN of TV Talk, and that's here at AfterBuzz TV. So please give us a shout out on YouTube, subscribe. If you follow us on, you know, download us on Apple Podcasts or where you get all of your favorite podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. That is how we keep up with all of our fans. Leave comments, find us on Twitter. We love you guys. We want to keep giving you the best content ever.
Oh, that's fantastic. And speaking of the best content ever, I'm just kidding. Johnny Gargano comes out. open challenge.
Great transition. Great transition.
Yeah. It's a bad transition. Okay, let's talk about this, right? We talked about how we're trying to figure out what kind of bad guy Gargano is. Because is he aggressive? Is he cowardly? Mm-hmm. Is he a maniacal person? We don't quite know. Having his own Gargano open challenge against Adrian, not Adonis, but Alanis, who has his own t-shirt, which is kind of weird. Like, do I root for this guy?
Hey, it's all about merch.
Hey, make short work of him, but Keith Lee and Mia Yim get involved because now we're going to have a couple's feud. You guys know how I feel. I've been at this for weeks. Emily May, let's talk about this. Because we talk about Mia Yim being kind of lost in translation, but about mm-hmm. Candice LeRae being so good and not giving a shot. It was talking about Johnny Gargano looking for a direction. Is this the perfect holdover feud? Or you're like me going, dang, wasn't Keith Lee the man? wasn't he going to WrestleMania at one point? I mean, all right.
So I'm kind of torn because I know we've talked about a little bit about this last week, that maybe they're trying to do this couples feud where they're kind of build this rivalry up. And what I loved how Mia Yim kind of was mocking their kind of dinner promos tonight. They were kind of making fun of Candice and Gargano. And I liked that. It kind of added some spunk and some what?
I'm disappointing myself.
Oh, some spunk and some like a little grit to kind of what they were doing. But I also don't know how it's going to move, you know, Mia Yim or like Keith Lee into a direction that is like going to be productive. I would love to see this big rivalry, but like they haven't really had too many. They've been doing these like video packages and kind of promos in the ring, but nothing really substantial. So I want like some grit. I want to get it intense.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Was that so, the heart, no soul, or what have you? Hamza, a similar question. So we've seen the dinner promos for weeks. We don't know if Candace can cook or she does order in. Mia Yim and Keith Lee make fun of them, but I'm not sure if it hit the mark. For me personally, it was cringy. So I don't know who to root for here. Maybe you could put some nuance on things. Maybe something I'm missing because I'm just a grumpy old fan. I do these after shows, you know?
Maybe you're not missing it. I don't know. But before I even get into that, first of all, shout out to the pizza delivery girl for her Latino Heat shirt. I love
Tegan Knox.
Yes.
But honestly, they're like, hey, let's do a couples feud. We don't know what to talk about. Let's go through and see what SmackDown's done with The Miz and Maurice, along with John Cena and Nikki Bella. And let's just throw that in there. That's kind of what it seemed like to me. It was very like copy and paste, you know, the same style of making fun of the way they talk to each other. They order dinner and mm-hmm. and when you take two kind of unfunny people and try to make them be funny, it wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy it, not one bit.
I guess the tragedy of it all is like Mia Yim and Candice LeRae is going to be a dope match. Next week has already been announced. Mia Yim is taking on Candice LeRae, and there's going to be some shenanigans. That's just the way it's going to be. It's going to be, you know what it reminds me of? This is what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when last week I had a huge Oreo craving. You know what I'm saying? I like double stuff. You know, some people like regular. I hate the thins. Those are like a lie and a crime. Anyway, I went to the store and there were no Oreos. They were like the vanilla Oreos. There was like the cheesecake Oreos. There was the red velvet Oreos. I just want Oreos. I'm not saying you can't have fun on NXT, but you don't need all that. I think we're fine. If Johnny Gargano came out and just kicked somebody in the face, I'll boo him. It's all right. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
You think the promos are too much? Is that what you're saying? That it's like...
So if you really want me to be all that guy at the bar, I like the fact that Johnny Gargano was willing to put his character in another direction because that's how you move things at NXT. Yeah. We have to keep defining what is cutting edge in wrestling. However, I don't know what kind of heel he is. I don't know if he's like a cowardly guy, if he's like, you know what, the more tragic thing about it? The similar thing happened an hour later with Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux, and I was like, yes, I know exactly what he's about. I know why Scarlett's out there. I know why she's a messenger. I get that. But with this, it's like, are they a comedy gimmick? Is it supposed to be like, I roll them up and I pin them? Or is it supposed to be, no, Gargano is like this force of nature and he demands respect and he's going to take it. I don't know what part I'm getting on. You know?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine, man. I don't think Johnny Gargano knows at this point. It's so left and right every single week. It's kind of like watching the news with this Corona stuff. One day it's here, one day it's not. That's what the storyline is, you know? So one day it's going this way, one day it's going that way. I don't know. I'm not even keeping up anymore. I'm just waiting for something to happen.
Just guaranteed the matches are going to be fire, though. That's NXT for you. But moving on, speaking of a match that pleasantly surprised me, Raquel Gonzalez, the 6'1" native of Lafayette, Texas, taking on Shotzi Blackheart and her tank, man, in a match that ran a little longer than I thought it would be. And a good thing, because our women's division always getting that time, always getting that display. But no, I'm just kidding. I love the match. There's no criticism there. Emily, any thoughts about the match and Shotzi Blackheart?
I mean, Shotzi Blackheart is my favorite. I mean, many wrestlers are my favorite, but I love when she comes out in the tank. Her energy is always above and beyond, and you have to be like so up when you're, you know, especially when you don't really, well, here they had a little bit of an audience, but even so much more when you don't, your energy has to be above and beyond, because it bleeds through the screen and we see it and we feel it and we sense it. And she completely always blows me away. And tonight I feel like against Raquel Gonzalez, it was fantastic. Her energy, she did like a back senton, I think, at one point, which was really awesome and terrifying a little bit.
Yeah, she kind of landed on her head, right?
She kind of landed on her head, which I was like, kind of, you know.
My notes I had, please don't die in the chat.
Yeah, I was like, please don't be hurt.
Yeah, I was a fan of the match. Your thoughts about the match? Oh, sorry, yeah. Control.
No, I was just going to say, Raquel Gonzalez is also very strong, so it showcased how just she can just lift Shotzi up and just kind of throw her around, and I feel like it was just a great match to showcase kind of both of their strengths.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wonder about this. It's pen wrestling now. I'm going to mention another promotion right now, AEW, right? Yeah. With their talent, Nyla Rose, and then on Raw with Nia Jax, the role of a monster in the women's division. And we've seen that between Jazzy Gabert and even Nicole Bass 20 years ago. Is there a spot for that on the modern roster? Or is that something that has to continually evolve, a la, say, Braun Strowman? Even though he's considered a monster, he has to work a lot faster than a monster 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah.
I feel like you got to keep evolving that. I mean, the monsters back in the day, like Kane and Undertaker had these slow movements and everything, which was a little eerie. But because the wrestling today is so fast paced and stuff, you have to be able to dominate but be quick on your feet at the same time without looking kind of goofy either, which is hard to do. I think Braun Strowman does a great job of that. He's like a train when he goes running, you know? And Raquel, they're doing a good job with her so far. I feel like she still has something to show a little bit to come off that dominant wrestler. But I think she's doing a pretty good job. I think if they continue to build her up and keep backing her up, she could be a pretty decent monster. And most of the women, like you, the ones you mentioned, are a little bit heavier. This one's a little bit more fit. So I'm kind of excited to see someone China-esque come through and dominate.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, because Dakota Kai keeps kind of coming out with her. And I'm wondering, because a couple times she's assisted in kind of a win and helped her. And I'm wondering if there's going to be some more strategy used for her, for Dakota Kai, and kind of add in the mix some complications. Or if Raquel was going to stand on her own as who she is in NXT.
Did you want them to stay together as a tag team, as like an enforcer, fighter dynamic? And what do you, if you had a choice?
I feel like right now it kind of helps having Dakota attached to her because she's so established. And so I feel like it's helping establish her as a really like strong contender. And so I think having her not necessarily as a tag team, but as kind of an association.
That's great. I also agree with you. I think the association works. And we were talking about Dakota Kai, that we're ready to see her move on from her extended feud with the pizza girl, Tegan Knox, and what goes for her. But I can't talk enough about the upside of Shotzi Blackheart, because not only she's good in the ring, she's a character, and we saw her promo last week. I think she's the right balance of what could work on the main roster as far as being a persona that would like be on souvenir cups and get people to come out and wear t-shirts and mugs.
Exactly.
An actual like indie level, NXT level talent. What is the difficulty in finding that mix, Hamza?
You know, actually, what's funny is I was actually thinking about Emily when I was watching Shotzi, and what you said last week is kind of true. It's not like that. What you said last week was actually true. It's she's great and she has a good character going, but people might not take her seriously. And we've seen her take the L this week, and it might continue forward. But the gimmick is all there, man. I think she has so much that she can do to sell merchandise, different types of t-shirts. Like I said, she reminds me of Green Day. So I like Shotzi. I like everything that's going on with her character so far.
Yeah, there's a balance between character and like wrestling and the actual, like, it's a fine balance. And I feel like she has strength in both. And I feel like if she hones in on both of those, she's going to skyrocket.
Of course.
Yeah, let the record know that was one of my two breakout talents was Raquel Gonzalez and Caden Carter. I'm just saying, if I'm right, I'm going to clip it out and show all my friends, put it on AfterBuzz.
Roll that tape.
Yeah, roll that tape.
Roll it.
Speaking of that tape, TV Guide broke the news at NXT TakeOver In Your House. It's going to be a triple threat match. The NXT Women's Championship, Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley, and Charlotte Flair. Before we get the tag team match play up, I'm a bit intrigued by Miss Shirai, the genius of the sky, if you will. I always thought she was a presumptive number one contender till Rhea Ripley came in the scene today. Let's talk about that before we get to the tag team match. The prospects, though, if that title changes hands, how will NXT change, either if Rhea Ripley gets a title back or if Io Shirai becomes a new or her first reign as NXT Women's Champion?
I'll take this one.
Yeah, Hamza, you go first.
I'll go take this one. I love Io Shirai. I want her to get the belt. I really want her to get the belt. Is it her time yet? Do I even feel like she's going to get it? No, but as a fan, I'm going to continue to be behind her, and I would love for her to take this. If Charlotte has to lose the belt this time around, I would want Io Shirai to take it. But even if Rhea Ripley does, I can see that happening. Although for Rhea Ripley, I feel like it would be a step back. I want her to now move up to the main roster if she can and continue doing great things there and let Io Shirai have a little bit of time with the women's title in NXT, develop herself so she can be the superstar I know she's going to be.
Hey, there is no main roster. There are three equal brands.
They're all rosters.
No. They're all equal brands, man. Cool.
That's why one's taped in a performance center.
Yeah. Cool story, bro.
Well, now where are all of them filmed?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like signing up for Mr. Olympia, but doing it at a 24-hour fitness, you know? Okay.
Well, if you went there, it still counts. Right. So I'm just letting you know. Shout out to Braun Strowman. Our tag team match was Io Shirai teaming up with Rhea Ripley against Charlotte Flair and Chelsea Green. I really thought they were going to draw this out, or I thought Charlotte's going to be like, I don't need a partner. But out came Chelsea Green. They had an agreement like weeks ago. I had no idea. Fun match. I liked it. Chelsea Green gets the rub, as they say. Emily, walk me through this. So many things to take from this matchup.
I mean, there's so many takeaways from this match. I feel like the biggest takeaway right now is Chelsea Green was like the star of this match. And I'm saying this because she got all the heat. The majority of the heat, she got a lot of these big moves, you know, Io Shirai kept hitting her over and over again. It showed where they see Chelsea Green going, and to pair her up with Charlotte. And I loved how I loved on commentary, they were talking about how these egos were going to handle each other in the ring. And I feel like they did pretty well. And because they both have this like persona and this just this presence about them, I feel like it was a really good matchup. And you know, Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai, I never really thought about them together, but I feel like it worked really well. And there was just like Io Shirai had this fire in her tonight. She was all fired up. She had this energy that was really great. And I was pleasantly surprised that this had so much energy and so much kind of, it was energized. It got everyone fired up.
Did you predict Chelsea would come out, or did you have somebody else in mind? Or you're just like, wait and see, let's see what the,
you know, I kind of watching social media and kind of watching how they were building up the last few weeks, I had an inkling that it might be her. But you never really know, because there, you know, there could have been some other veteran talent that could have taken that slot. But I feel like Chelsea Green made the most sense when you really look at it, because they're trying to build her up. She has this new brand. She's this new star of NXT, and that's the best way to put her over is to put her in these matches with some of the best wrestlers out there.
Once they announced Chelsea Green, I would put money on like Aaliyah coming out and be like, remember me? Can I see part of the group? I would have been hilarious if that ever happened. Hamza, walk me through this. Chelsea Green, she got the rub, she got the challenge, the opportunity. Did she deliver? And do you believe in Robert Stone Brand?
I liked it. Any wrestler that's going to get the rub, in my opinion, and get that, like, be able to hang in the ring with Charlotte and be able to shine as much as she did, I think she did a good job, and I'm very, very happy for her. Like, I think that's always fun to see. However, I didn't expect it to be Chelsea by any means. They didn't even let me wait. Like, I'm like, okay, thinking, who have I not seen in a while? Who did Charlotte used to be with back in the day? Who could it possibly be to come in and just, I don't know, make a fun, exciting match for us? And then they didn't even wait for Charlotte's music cut off. Here comes Chelsea. And it's like, yeah. Oh, okay. I guess this is what we're getting now. So it was cool. What it was.
I guess we're getting, I mean, I had Asuka from the Monday Night thing. I had, I had Dakota Kai because he's someone that could totally be like in Charlotte's shadow, but we hadn't seen in a while. I did not see Chelsea Green coming at all.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Io Shirai, because for a while she's known as, according to Mauro, the Josie Judas. But she's teaming with Rhea Ripley and she got pinned unfairly by Charlotte. Is this what they call a slow face turn, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been trying to, we've been trying to find this place for Io Shirai, where she can really be like embraced. And I feel like this is her time where, like, because it was such kind of an unfair ending, that we're all going to be on her side and we're going to want her to get the next win. So it's, I think it was a good moment. I mean, I'm sad that it happened, but it's a good moment for her to take to the next match and say, hey, this is what I want, and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. Hamza, slow turn, yay, nay?
You know, I didn't even think about that until you just pointed it out. I'm like, man, okay, that makes sense too. Like I said, I like Io Shirai. I think, you know, her heel turn was great when it happened. If she becomes a babyface champion, I would love that even more, because I feel like now she'll get to do that thing we were talking about, which is show a little character, a little personality, win people over, people love her, and then just be that good babyface champion. But that's hopeful wishing, and I know that it's NXT and anything can happen, so I hope it goes that way. Now that you planted that thought in my brain, blah, that's what I want.
All right? Yeah. Because you think about it, like Chelsea Green and Charlotte are very, very much kind of in the more of the heel category, and then you have Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai could be kind of that next tag team that is a little bit more brutal, but also
loved
by everyone.
Yeah, I want to see that. What you guys say in the chat, let us know. But before we move on to our next match, it's something that I can't even call it lockdown playlist anymore, because most of the countries open up, we'll call it the playlist. And today's weekly monthly choice, TakeOver Respect, from the October 7th, 2015 edition. That was the Dusty Road Finals with the team of, I have it here, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe beating Corbin and Rhino in the finals to become the Dusty Road Classic winners. And on top of that, Bayley fought Sasha Banks in a 30-minute Iron Woman match. But more importantly, my new best friend, Apollo Crews, had a match at that event beating Tyler Breeze. If you have some time, go back, support the new United States champion, Apollo Crews, with NXT TakeOver Respect from October 7th, 2015.
Moving on. Do not snooze on Apollo Crews. Do not snooze on Apollo Crews.
So do it. Apollo Nation, since day one, my best friend now. We like this.
Woo! BFF. You gotta go drinking.
Speaking of best friends, the people that are tribute together but won't be, Adam Cole had a little bit of a complaint with William Regal, saying this Velveteen Dream guy is getting a thorn in my side. Okay, he gets one more chance, and Regal gave it to him with one caveat. Cinematic match. No. At an undisclosed location, that the light will shine on both of you. I'm on board for the last time for Dream. Hamza, walk me through this. Adam Cole, is he right to complain as the NXT champion?
Of course he does. He's supposed to be the champ. He's supposed to get the spotlight. Should be him everywhere. But you can't think about him when Velveteen Dream comes out, man. That guy is so charismatic. And I know where the undisclosed location is. It's inside Velveteen's Dream. It's a Friday the 13th. No, wait. Nightmare on Elm Street match.
Fire of Funhouse, yeah.
No, I don't know what's going on. I was really excited about it. I'll be honest. I got a little excited about it. I love seeing William Regal on TV anytime I see him. I just think the guy is great. But I hope they do something fun and exciting. And so far, like, the Boneyard match was fun to see and everything like that. So I think that they have a good head on their shoulders as far as these cinematic matches are concerned. Kind of hope we get something like this. And Velveteen Dream could really pull it off, because he's very charismatic. Like,
yeah. It totally is. We all agree.
With a bullet.
Are we going to go back to the corporate headquarters and see a match there? I don't know. I'm curious to see what they do with it. And, you know, Adam Cole does have the right to demand a match. And it's going to be, we've been wanting this. We've been waiting for this for a really long time. So.
Yeah. How good is a negotiator's William Regal being like, oh, you want that? Okay.
Yeah. Pretty short negotiation.
Yeah. It was kind of like a bully thing. So we've been to, I guess, Firefly Funhouses and graveyards. We had a ring set up. We climbed the corporate ladder. I mean, what left there could be done unless we're going to a strip club or I don't know what could we possibly do.
Someone's house.
Inside of a house, right? Like we'll see him. I'll see him in the kitchen later on. I'll film it from here, guys. No worries.
Yeah. Someone's house. We could be in a swimming pool. We could be somewhere. Who knows?
If you guys know where this match is going to be in the chat, got predictions, let us know. I want to read what you guys think this new location is going to be for this matchup. It's going to be great. It's going to be brutal. I hope it's a place where Velveteen Dream can jump off of. It's not like inside of a house, but if he has to do it, then hey, by all means, go ahead.
In a two-story house.
Velveteen Dream. Speaking of promos, Birch and Lorcan, my favorite tag team that gets no love, met up in a pub for Sprites. And they just committed to be the next tag team champions because Imperium holds the championships. Now, I know that Riddle couldn't hold it for too long, wrestling by himself. That wasn't going to work. And him and Thatcher had a match later on today. If you had to put a feud together with Imperium holding the championships, are Birch and Lorcan the guys, Hamza?
I actually think they are. Last week, I didn't have much to say about them. That's the thing. Last week, I didn't think I had much to say about them. And then this week, as soon as that promo happened, I'm like, I'm a fan. I love that. Do that again. That was cool. That was entertaining. I loved it. I loved the backstory. I loved the corniness of it. They were talking each other up, which was great. They seemed like they were like the best of buds. And it kind of reminded me of Sheamus and Cesaro when they used to beat the heck out of each other. And then all of a sudden, they became the best of buds because that's what tough guys do. So I'm behind them at this point. I think this is great.
Emily, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see it. I want them to really, really show me that they want it and they deserve it. So, and then I'll be on board.
All I'm saying is if you go to a bar, order a Sprite, that is dedication to your body. Because
that's sugar. That is sugar.
Sprite Zero. No, Sprite Zero, guys.
Yeah, it's my Sprite Zero, man. Die, Sprite.
No, I'm all for it. You know, I think we need a shakeup in the kind of the tag team division. And if you can, you know, they've had some great matches. I just want to see it. I want to see it happen. And, you know.
You got to admit.
Be on board with them, you know.
Imperium versus Birch and Lorcan is the opposite of Velveteen Dream. It's just going to be straight up fists and like suplexes and headlocks and all that stuff. I'm here for it. I hope there's more promos too. Because look, we've got the time. These characters are there. They're in the locker room. They're not just being trotted out sometimes. It's good to have some backstory. But speaking of backstory, Tommaso Ciampa, Blackheart, is coming down to the ring. Got a little problem with that Karrion Kross fellow, but has to go through Leon Ruff, the same Leon Ruff that Karrion Kross beat about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Hamza, who did it better, Karrion Kross or Tommaso Ciampa?
Leon Ruff did it better. He got shots in.
Two checks.
He got a shot in, and I loved it. I'm like, that guy got some offense. I'm so proud of him. He did the whole jumping over the rope, duck, psych, going out of the way. Karrion Kross definitely did better because he just destroyed the guy. And Ciampa, you know, had to work a little bit for it. It almost like he overestimated or underestimated Leon Ruff, and he thought he was going to get in there, get a victory, but nope. Leon Ruff had something in his sleeve, up his sleeve for him, and I like that. I like that he, as this jobber, in a way, is getting this little bit of shine, and that made me happy.
It does seem like he's the guy who gets called on all things. Yeah, brands. I mean, Leon, we need you.
Yeah, I mean, when you do these types of like enhancement matches, you have to have those little shining moments, like you said, Hamza, that make you feel a little bit bad for that person that's going to lose. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he did a really good job. And where you like. You kind of have an idea going in, like it's Ciampa, like, you know, but you want to like root for the underdog anyway, and you want to believe in them. And that's what makes these types of matches still, you know, still useful and meaningful. And they have a purpose in the overall arc of an episode. And it helps set up this whole thing with Scarlett and stuff like that. So
right. I hope Leon doesn't get paid by the victory, because Karrion Kross shows up on the big screen and it looks bigger NXT because they don't have like the Raw stuff in front of it. Looking like a video game boss. He's like, yo, you can't handle all this in your house, your mind. I think this match already sells the price of admission just because of how little we've seen of Kross and how intense, you know, Ciampa can get. And I know I alluded to this before, but why does Karrion Kross work and Johnny Gargano doesn't? Why? What is Karrion? Let's be positive about it. We're not disparaging Gargano.
No, we're not.
What is Karrion Kross doing right that instantly makes him an impact, even though we've seen less matches of him in NXT?
It's because we don't know much about him. That's how I feel. We've never seen him before. We don't see him that often. We don't see him that much. So we're a little bit more intrigued about what's going. Whereas like Gargano, for example, we've seen him on our TV so much over the years. We've kind of learned this person. We know him outside of the ring. So sometimes when you get past that character and you learn the person on the inside, it's hard to get behind characters that don't match their personalities.
So just thinking of from like a producing brand, like producing perspective.
Which you are.
And a branding perspective. When, you know, with Johnny, we've seen him as this like kind of, he's this very like outgoing character and positive character, and now he's taking a turn. So we've had him established in this one area for a really long time that we've gotten to know and many people have gotten to love. And then we have this other character that's coming, you know, that is established in a way. His video packages are amazing, and he has this persona that has this air of mystery, and the packages are just produced differently, have a different branding to them that already established this like strength and this mystery and this like deviousness, and his look is very different. So because there's contrasting looks and they're producing packages differently, they're going to get a different response from the audience.
Fair enough. The chat actually agrees with you, Emily. You know, I was like, different characters, and Kross is new, bro. Flobo, relax. What do you get out trying to compare guys who work really hard, do their craft right? I'm sorry, Zeno. That's what I do. I'm just making
sure. Thank you, chat. We love you.
I want to talk about Scarlett, though, because we all know she can go. I mean, she was a recent signee to the brand. She can wrestle, so she's not just a valet, but she's in this role now. So mysterious. Is she like just scooping things out? What is her deal? Like, how much of an X factor do you think she's going to be moving on?
I mean, I think she's going to be a big factor in what's happening. I feel like right now it's just the establishment phase. Right now they're just trying to like leave little breadcrumbs of storytelling elements. And then there's going to be those surprise moments where she's going to come out, surprise us, and she'll get her time to shine. I just feel like they're developing something right here, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, she's intriguing to me because she does the bare minimum when she comes out there, but she captures you and your attention. And like the week before that, I forgot which week it was, but where she just opened the ropes for Ciampa to get in, like, come on in, talk to us in the ring. And then this time, I didn't even see her until Ciampa moved out of the way, and there she is right behind him. Like, I didn't even see her get down there, you know? So she did it so smooth, and her look is amazing, and it's just like, she's exciting to watch, man. She's definitely one of the reasons why this Karrion Kross character is working.
Fair enough. Zeno and I was like, don't make me come to LA. I'm sorry, Zeno. I'm sorry. I ask questions. I'm a fan. I love NXT. I would watch it even if I didn't have the show. But
heel veto.
I am not, you know what? I'm not a
heel. Wow, he's throwing his script out. He's done. He's like, I'm done.
I've been a wrestling fan for 3 decades. You know how old I am? I can't be a heel.
Do it. I'll do this live.
I'll write it. Okay. So our main event today was hashtag the fight pit. Matt Riddle, who proved today on the bump that he is both a bro and a stallion, taking on Timothy Thatcher. There was no turnbuckles, no ropes. You can't exit the cage. You have to win by tap or snap or anything like that. It's going to move the more intense matches we've seen. But Timothy Thatcher, missing teeth and all, choked out Matt Riddle. Whew! Intense way to end NXT. Had that little feeling in my gut like, man, evil won today. Dang. Hamza, walk me through this. What worked? What made this match so brutal and so intense?
It just, man, the hard-hitting action. They were beating the crap out of each other. They were going in. It made me scared to get in the ring. I was like, I don't want to do that, okay? I'm a big fan of cage matches, more than Hell in a Cell, more than Elimination Chamber, more than the board game setup. I love a regular cage match.
Wow.
Hot take, bro.
It's just me. I don't know what it is. But this one was different. And
gotta get you a cage.
No, the platform. Kurt Angle didn't do a moonsault like I wanted him to. And I was like, oh, cool, do a moonsault, bro. But no, he didn't want to do that. But it all worked. It all worked really well, in my opinion. It almost seemed like he passed the torch to Thatcher, because I heard through the grapevine he might be moving up to SmackDown, Riddle, that is. And if that's the case, this was a great way to end it. I liked it.
Before I ask you your thoughts on before this whole show started, right, there was a nice guy. His name was Haywood Wong, friend of the show. I think a friend of mine, if we ever met in real life. He said, he's so glad that you sucked Chance for back for Kurt Angle. And I said, nah, bruh. Next thing you know, I'm being called a heel. I love Kurt Angle. He's an Olympian. He was on TNA. He was everywhere. He's a Hall of Famer. He's like number 6 on my all-time list. No, actually, he's number 4 on my all-time list. My best wrestlers of all time, replacing Hulk Hogan, because you know Hulk Hogan is another second time I can talk about. Anyway, I don't like the fact that I have to chant you suck because another wrestler, which I won't name here, said, hey, from now on, they're going to say you suck. No, he's good. He's a legend. Give him the respect he deserves. I will go out of my way to not say he sucks. Now, Emily Mitt.
Hot take, Flo-Vo.
I know, right? The most faces healed promo. Wow, of all time.
That was like flip floppy. I didn't know where you were going.
You just buried our fan. Like, you just buried our fan right now. Thank you.
I did not. Haywood was
one of those. Haywood, at it again.
We know Haywood. It's all good. We're not burying him. It's
I'm
all good.
I'm gonna take my lunch money. Okay, Emily, talk about the match.
I love this match. I love that it was on. You know, they're trying to get creative here. It was kind of an alternative version of a cage match. You have two different levels. You have this whole, they have this whole kind of fight up at the top, shelf. I don't know. What do we call it? Platform. the top platform. You have Thatcher losing teeth and bleeding everywhere. And I loved like this intense grappling style that both of them showcased tonight, where they're low. There's a lot of submissions, but it was so like hard. Like you said, it's hard hitting. It was like really a fight, and you felt like and they did kind of fly off the top, but I still felt like it was so intense. I was like, I'm not going to get out. How are they going to get out of here? And it was a surprise win for me. You know, I thought Riddle would take it, but I think that Thatcher deserved it in the sense that he showed that like he could, you know, he could fight back against Riddle, who has established himself in NXT.
It really was the NXT debut of Kurt Angle. I thought it was kind of an interesting gesture to say, hey, look, even though you were technically furloughed, maybe we could bring you back for other events. Mm-hmm. Do we want to see more of Kurt in this capacity, or just kind of like a one-time deal, make it special, we'll holler at you later, player.
I'd love to see Kurt again, man. He lives like an hour away from the Performance Center, so he needs to come by whenever he wants to and just hang out and do what he needs to do. He's at a point now where I feel like he could just, like Ric Flair, he could just show up from time to time, and just fun seeing him, you know. And I guarantee if you went to Kurt Angle and say, look, when people say chant, you suck when you come out, I personally don't, he's going to feel upset about that. He's going to feel like you don't like him, because that's endearing at this point, okay?
He has to do the whole like, yeah, because I'm over it. But I'm telling you, there's a reason.
I can't do it.
My favorite version of Kurt Angle is Kurt Angle 06. When he was drafted to the new version of ECW with Paul Heyman, they had to rework the theme song to not put that dun, dun, because everyone was chanting, you suck.
Yeah,
it's not a term of endearment, man. I'm putting it out.
John Cena sucks. I mean,
yeah, but. Yeah, but it wasn't from one wrestler on camera saying, from now on, it's like the whole, like, when Rock tells Baron Corbin, you're a super tough dude. I'm not chanting that, you know? Or when Stone Cold told Christian he was a CLB. I'm not chanting that either. I'm a purist.
That's fine. My take on him coming back as a ref and stuff. And, you know, I feel like all of these legends have the opportunity to help in different areas of the wrestling world. If they're not going to get in the ring, they can do commentary. They can, you know, be a ref. They can do all this other, be a general manager, do all this back, you know, backstage / you know, less impact on air stuff. And I think it's just an opportunity to like show the fans that you're still there, and also help and guide kind of the younger generation that's in the wrestling world. So I feel like it's an opportunity. I'm not saying maybe every week, but I think when the opportunity arises that fits kind of what they want to do, I think it would be a great addition.
Oh yeah, I'm always down for passing the torch because wrestling's the greatest story ever told, man. You pass it down from generation to generation. I'm so heard. But that will actually do it for us on this week's edition of the NXT After Show. Mia Yim and Candice LeRae will have a match next week, and we're getting an extended promo ahead of TakeOver In Your House. Can't wait for that. I'll be there because I am not a heel. I love everything there is to do about NXT and professional wrestling. My best bud, Apollo Crews, you probably call me up. We'll probably use some things and hang out, maybe get some froyo if we do it within 6 feet of social distancing. But before we get out of here, Hamza, where can the world find you online, good sir?
Everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Hamza_mania. Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A _mania, M-A-N-I-A.
Brother, Emily May.
Amazing. When we're all done with this, I do want to get some frozen yogurt too with all of you. So let's write that on our calendars.
Oh, you're with Flobo.
All right. You guys can find me on social media. We can talk about wrestling. We can talk about Froyo at Emily May Heller. We had an amazing interview with Dana Brooke today on Women's Wrestling Weekly.
What?
So go check it out. It was amazing. She was so inspiring. And gave us like the most incredible advice, kind of told us some rivalries that might be coming up. So, yeah, so you got to check it out.
If you guys have not checked out Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly already, you guys need to. It is the crown jewel of our wrestling journalistic coverage. But before that, my name is Flobo Boyce. You can follow me at Twitter, at Flobo Boyce, on Instagram, at Flobito, and of course, Flobito.com. I got to go make a costume change because the AEW Dynamite After Show is happening right after this on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.